all their tie-ins are. Joined now by a Razorback legend and a man who had a great but brief run in Pittsburgh, Barry Foster, joining us now. Barry, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys.
When did you got in this morning, right?
Got in this morning.
Travel was okay?
Wasn't bad. I mean, it's cold and wet out, but, you know, got here safe.
What are you doing now?
I am a middle school PE teacher back in Lewisville, Texas.
Is that right?
Yes.
So, do the kids know? I mean, do they know your story a little bit?
Yeah, you know, the kids today, they're really hip on that social media. They know how to Google stuff and YouTube it, so they always come up to me and show me videos that I haven't even seen that are out there. So, yeah, they know I played.
That's pretty funny. Well, Phil is a longtime Steelers fan. I know a lot of folks want to see you today. There's probably a lot of combination Razorback Steeler fans who are here today, but
Barry was part of the team that really brought the Steelers back into prominence, that 92 club, which was Coach Cowher's first season. I mean, you played for Chuck Knoll his last 2 years and Coach Cowher's first two seasons. That 92 year was incredible, and I mean, you came almost out of nowhere. You led the NFL in rushing.
Well, it was a good deal for me because coming out of the Chuck Knoll era, we had a lot of talent, but we really didn't have the coaches to really put it together. Bill Cowher brought in Ron Earhart, the offensive coordinator that led the Giants to a Super Bowl. So he really wanted to run the football, and he felt like I could be that guy. And I'm thankful for him for giving me that opportunity.
And you ran it a lot that year. I mean, I think you also led the NFL in carries. So
you got it
25, 30 times a game?
Something like that. I think by the end of the season I carried it like 390 carries, which was, you know, it's not bad.
You remember what that year was like in Pittsburgh. The Steelers were sort of down a little bit for a few years, and that brought them back into prominence.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, Bill Cowher, most people don't know he's a great players coach. Guys love to play for him. We had all the talent. We had the Rod Woodsons, the Greg Lloyds, the Carnell Lex. I mean, we had the talent, but it took a Bill Cowher to kind of get guys wanting to play again, motivated to play again, and he just did a great job of piecing that team together.
When you think back on your Razorback career, and I heard you talk to the guys a little bit about that, some of the guys that stand out to you that impacted your career, that you enjoy playing with, guys you were close to on those teams?
Yeah, I mean, starting out with the coach, you know, Ken Hatfield and his coaching staff. We had so many great coaches. Steve Atwater, Quinn Grovey, Albert Crawford, I mean, Juju Harshaw. I mean, we had tons of talent. And that's what made it so special for me because, you know, every year we were competitive, and it was because of those guys.
Yeah, some pretty good ones for sure. And Quinn does some stuff with our morning show now, and he's a guy that I got to know working with back then, ARSN, and certainly he's a guy that I think is still, you know, people still connected to him because of his work on the broadcast. But, yeah, obviously a lot of good teams there. You guys had so much success there. What was the transition like for you and being drafted in? And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, veterans dealing with younger guys, but just talk to me about the environment that you played in Pittsburgh. It seems like that was a place where about as good a pro environment to go into.
Yeah, for me it was the best because I was a power back and wasn't very fast, but I could bruise you up pretty good. So being able to go to the Steelers and be part of that program and their organization, it was great for me because that's what they wanted to do. They were a blue-collar team. You work hard, you bust your butt to get what you wanted, and to be able to play for Chuck Knoll right out the gate. I got introduced to the NFL the right way, tough, gritty, hard-nosed, and it was just one of my life's greatest experiences.
A day like this is perfect for Steeler football.
There you go.
For a Chuck Knoll running game.
Back in the day when we had Coach LeBeau, Coach LeBeau was our linebacker coach. He would come out in this kind of weather and say, this is Steeler weather.
That's right.
Yeah, this is Steeler weather out here, and that's what they really believe.
Did you get to a point where you're like, I just can't do it anymore from the injury standpoint, or was there a period where you're like, physically you could probably go through it again, but you just didn't necessarily, did you lose it, or how does that go?
You know, it was both physically and mentally. And when I left Carolina, I got cut. I was still having ankle issues. I got picked up by the Cincinnati Bengals in week 8. Went there for about 2 days, and my ankle was blowing up. It was swelling up so big. I just couldn't do it. And at that point, I just felt like it was a good time for me to just walk away and just, you know, try to live the rest of my life the best way I could.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to be happy that you could walk away, because some guys will go through it so much and you see them struggle physically for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, but you know what? Looking back on it, I probably would have gutted it out for another year or two.
Really?
Should have stayed.
Is that right?
Yeah, if I had to do it all over again, I probably would have gutted it out maybe for another year or two because, you know, when you're done, and you miss the camaraderie. It's something that, you know, you always hear guys talk about, the locker room, the camaraderie. It's something that you can't duplicate once you're out of sports.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to find that natural high again, hanging out with the fellas and all that. So I would probably would have gutted it out just for that.
Do you do any coaching or just teaching?
No, I coach too.
Okay.
You know, early on I coached in NFL Europe. I've done several NFL internships with NFL teams. So yeah, I'm a coach, but I'm just at the middle school level.
Where would you want to be? What would be an ideal job from a coaching standpoint for you?
For me, coaching for the Dallas Cowboys.
Is that right?
Okay. I'm from Dallas. Ouch. I'm from Dallas.
You just hurt the Pittsburgh fans. Oh no.
Man, I mean, believe me, I love my Steelers. You know, my wife and I, we're both from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
Our family lives in Dallas. Our mom and dad's, our entire family's in Dallas. And so I wouldn't have to move my kids to another city. And this Dallas facility is about 20 minutes from where I live now. So ideally, that would be where I would want to land.
Where? How old are your kids?
21, 19, and 16.
Okay. Any budding running backs in that group?
No, Barry Jr. is actually a soccer player here at Harding University.
Is that right? Great.
In Searcy, Arkansas. He's there on a soccer scholarship, so
very
he plays
good.
Soccer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's you get a little more longevity probably in that sport. But
he's enjoying it.
Well, you got to be a great athlete to do that for sure as well. So it's impressive. I do want to thank you. I was telling the guys on the morning show today that you won me a lot of beer when I was in college. It's a weird story. But on the Madden game, after your big year, you were so dominant. My buddy was a huge Cowboys fan, and I played with the Steelers. I don't even know why. I wasn't even that big of a Steelers fan. But you were – it was like Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl. You were almost unstoppable. And I texted him this morning and told him you were coming on. He's still mad at you. But he had to buy a lot of drinks over the college career because, you know, when you're a dork in college, that's all you do. I mean, we were playing the video game and rolling on Madden.
I'll play the video games too, but every time I play with myself, I was a fumbler. Every time I play with myself, I said, I'm going with the Steelers. I'm going to be myself. I'll play my buddies. I would end up having like three or four fumbles during the game. And I was like, this guy sucks. So I would go with Thurman Thomas or somebody.
Yeah, that's good. Well, that was a great period. I mean, there were some obviously a lot of great backs.
That's when running the – everybody had to run the football.
Exactly.
You just did not. I mean, there was the run and shoot a little bit with the Houston with the Oilers.
Well, but that was weird. It was like people were like, you know, they're going to win a championship with that kind of offense. It's amazing, though. I guess all the great teams probably can do both to some degree. But you talk about Dallas again. I mean, in that period of time, obviously they had a great run there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, you look at those Cowboys and you look at your schedule, you just knew that was a loss. They were that good.
Yeah.
They were so stacked and so good. Those guys should have had at least three more Super Bowls. They were awesome.
We had Merrill Hodge on over the summer. I don't even remember. He was doing something with Reggie Swin in AAU football here, but we were talking about you guys being teammates, and mm-hmm. he had a lot of respect for you. It was nice kind of reminiscing. We actually talked a lot about how he ties that tie to get that knot so big, which is as impressive as anything he's ever done.
That's a trademark. It's amazing.
It is for him. But what are your memories of playing with him and being a teammate?
Well, the one thing about Merrill, I played behind Merrill for 2 years. I was a fullback. I got drafted as a fullback. Merrill was the guy that I was competing against for playing time. But I always respected Merrill because he was always on time. He always knew his assignment. He worked hard. I mean, we had Tim Worley, too. He was a great running back. But Merrill was the guy that I was concerned with because he was so consistent. He was so good. He was productive. And I knew if I had to get some playing time, it was going to be tough because he was just a solid running back.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like everybody in Pittsburgh had bought into doing things the right way out there.
Well, definitely Merrill did. I mean, I think Merrill did a better job in public relations than I did. You know, he really understood how it worked at an earlier age than I did. It took me a little bit longer to understand the politics behind professional football and, you know, being politically correct most of the time. So yeah. Merrill, he's done a great job in transitioning out of football.
There are a lot of really great personalities on those teams too. I mean, you're talking about guys like Mike Webster, like Rod Woodson, he brought up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Merrill Hodge, Bam Morris, Bubby Brister.
Bubby Brister, Neil O'Donnell, Greg Lloyd.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a ton of guys. But my, you know, people always ask me, who's your favorite player? For me, it wasn't even a player. My favorite all-time person in the Steeler organization was Myron Cope.
And I was going to ask about Myron. I'm from his neighborhood, from Squirrel Hill. We went to the same high school, although he went 60 years before me. Myron did the Steelers color analysis for about 30 years.
Awesome guy.
And he would, I mean, he made up stuff. He would say, yoy, or double yoy, like if Barry would run you a 50-yard touchdown, it might even be a triple yoy.
Yeah.
I mean, he said stuff that you wouldn't even imagine would pop into somebody's brain, and he was really a lot of the personality of the Steelers.
This is a terrible impression of Myron Cope. He would always come in here.
This is Myron Cope coming live from the Steelers locker room. This is Barry.
I mean, he was an awesome personality.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's funny.
I'm a little hoarse, so.
Myron's the guy that invented the terrible towel.
The terrible towel, yep. Exactly.
Well, obviously the Razorbacks are mired in what is one of the worst seasons in Razorback history, which is, I can't even believe those words are escaping my lips considering what the hope was this year. But you're a guy that certainly would have thrived in a Brett Bielema offense. But what would you say to your fellow Razorback fans?
Well, you know, I caught the first game of the season. You know, I was recently inducted in the Hall of Honor there, so I caught the first game. They won that. It's just a tough situation being in the SEC. Every week you got to play a quality team. And, you know, this is his first year trying to implement his philosophy, his game plan, new coaches. It's going to take some time, but obviously, you know, the wins aren't there. But I would just say be patient with him. Give him an opportunity to fix it. It takes time to get the program on track.
And it would seem to me that, I mean, this is the sort of style of offense that you would probably want to play in if you were looking for a college. If you transport yourself when you were 17 to today's day, you'd be looking at that program.
Yeah, I would. You know, but you got to keep trend, you know, up with the trends of the current offense. Look at the Alabamas. Look at the LSU. The programs that are really winning and competing, the Oregons, you're going to have to implement some of that too. I mean, you can't just go back and just say, hey, we're just going to run the football, because you're not going to get those top quarterbacks to come to your school. You're not going to get those top receivers. So, you gotta branch out just a little bit to give those recruits, you know, something to come look forward to.
I think
sounds
ideally,
like a coach.
Yeah. Well, I think ideally his offense looks, you know, similar to what Alabama's doing, you know, and he's got running backs, he's got some tight ends that are that quality. Got a couple of young linemen I think Bill feels really good about. But you got to find the right guy, you know, under center for sure, and then beyond that.
It takes time. Yeah. I mean, it's not a situation where he can just go out and get every top recruit that
right. He
has his eye on. I mean, if that was the case, it would be easy for every coach. But you've got to give him time to get his own thumbprint on this program. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just lost a great coach in Petrino. He had a lot of success.
Yep.
So give him an opportunity to get his thumbprint on there, his fingerprint on this team, and I think he'll be okay.
College fans are so patient, luckily. Oh, wait, no, not at all.
Well, we don't have a choice.
I mean, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's good point.
We're Hawk fans for life, so, I mean, what are we going to do? We're not going to abandon our team, so what are we going to do?
We're going to be waiting, I guess, for another year or two. Barry, it's a pleasure having you on. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it a lot, and I think Phil enjoyed it even more. So
big thrill.
Anytime we get a former Steeler on for Phil, that's a big deal. But anything you're going to hit on? What do you when you do a speaking engagement like today? What are things you focus on?
You know what? I usually just ad lib and just kind of let it flow from my head. So hopefully it flows coherently and make a little sense, and hopefully people enjoy it.
You may see some people out in the crowd waving the terrible towel. So we'll see.
If I'd have known what was happening when I came here today, I'd have brought my terrible towel with me.
We'll get you a terrible towel.
There you go.
All right.
Barry, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Barry Foster. We'll be back in just a moment at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, presented by Epic Health, 1049. Stay with us.
Hey, when the rain, do you remember? How sweet it used to be.
It's that time of year when the savings get hot and the weather.